guys, and welcome to Garden Planet. You're with Karen and
Selena.
And I know that we talked about us not being here next week, but there's been a change of plan. Okay, I know that no one's surprised. Yeah, watch this space. But yeah, we just decided we'd squeeze in an extra show just for you so we didn't have to do any repeats or leave you, you know.
In the lurch.
In the lurch without any substance. So yeah, you're welcome.
The apple really did want to be talked about.
And we're actually, you know what, I think we might as well just crack straight into it and then we'll talk about some garden rambles that Selena really wanted to share.
Okay. So I'll plant the leek. Dun, 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 dun.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. He'd spent about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told. Quote, I'm a lonely little petunia in an onion patch.
Okay, so the humble apple. Okay. Apples, Selena and listeners, belong to the, do you know what family?
Melis.
Oh,
No.
Melis domestica. Oh. I think Melis is the genus.
No. Rosaceae.
Yeah.
The rose family.
The rose family. Yeah. I did not know that. Where was I?
No.
What? They originate from Europe and Asia, which is pretty standard. And they're a deciduous tree. There are hundreds of different varieties of apple. In fact, I had this conversation with my son. I put an apple in his lunchbox and he comes home, everything you put in my lunchbox was yuck, I don't like those muesli bars. So I guess who made his lunch today? Mm. Not me. yeah, but he goes, that wasn't an apple. And I said, yes, it was. He goes, look funny. It was one of those little jazz apples. It was a little one. It's like not much bigger than a kiwi fruit.
Okay.
And he didn't believe me that it was an apple. And I thought, this will be perfect for him because he doesn't eat much and it's just a little apple and it was super crunchy. Nah. And I had to convince him that it was an apple. So there's all kinds of different apples. And, yeah, you can get, like, Granny Smiths, which are, like, quite tart. You can get the Pacific Rose, which are pink.
Beautiful.
And really sweet.
Delicious.
And there's a whole, yeah. So I guess there's a huge variation in the rose family too. Isn't it one of the largest, diverse?
Oh, very diverse.
Yeah.
So many different kinds of roses and they've been breeding them for hundreds of years. So I can understand that the apple family will also have so many varieties.
Yeah, makes sense. So I was going to talk about cultivation. Now, we're well into spring now, guys. It's especially in Auckland where it's really warm. Well, some days. I mean, it's, yesterday totally caught me by surprise. I was like, okay, going to have to get the woolly hat back on. But generally speaking, it's a lot warmer. So not the time to be planting any new trees, okay? So what I want you to do is start thinking. Oh, my gosh, I'm sounding like a teacher. I want you to start thinking about, I'll give you some information today, and then as the year progresses and we head into next year, 2021, start thinking about, I want an apple tree in my garden, if space allows, and, you know, where you would put it, what kind of apple tree you want. So just start thinking, have it at the back of your mind.
Mm.
Okay, hopefully I'm going to provide some inspiration today. But just so you know, if you do decide, yep, I'm going to do it, next year is the time, early spring, late winter, okay? Apples grow best when given good, rich soils and adequate water through summer, especially when they're developing their fruit. They can also be grown in containers. Are your dwarf apples grown in?
No, mine are in the ground, but they could be in containers if I hadn't have put them in the ground. So
Yeah. I didn't realise that. But, of course, they have to be kept well fertilised and watered during spring and summer to ensure good fruit production. Mulch around the base of the tree up to its tree line to keep grass from encroaching. This has an inhibiting effect on apples and pears. I wonder, so I've got an apple tree and it's an okay-ish producer, but I've got the old
grass around it.
Creeping on, yeah, right, quite close to it. Certainly far closer than the drip line. So something for me to think about there. Companion planting. These are some plants you can plant with your apple. Wallflowers, garlic and chives to assist apples to grow and fruit better.
Yep, I think I've...
By the way, guys, this information that I've got is actually from the Herb Federation of New Zealand website. Okay, they've got all sorts of useful information on plants and herbs, and this one happened to be from the Herb Awareness Week 2020.
Mm.
So I just grabbed it straight off there because I thought I couldn't really put it any better. Information.
Okay.
Nasturtiums growing around apple trees are considered to deter woolly aphids, which can be quite a problem if allowed to become an infestation. And also the apple blossom flowers look really lovely. Oh, sorry, I was moving on to a different paragraph there, but they do. You can cut them when you prune them if you have a few extras on the end.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so pretty. Yeah, so nasturtium's good, and maybe that's something I could put under my, because it creeps under it, and it'll keep that weeds and grass at bay.
I've got apple mint.
Nice.
Under mine, I suppose because it's apple, but that goes everywhere. But I haven't noticed it sort of interfering with the growth of the apple tree, so.
Okay.
That might be a good one.
Do you get some good fruit production?
Well, I've only had them in there for 3 years.
Oh, it should be close.
So
then.
Maybe this year there might be
a
lot more. Last year I'd only had maybe one or two, but I'm just waiting to you know, get established.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk a little bit about pruning as well. Prune them either in winter, after the leaves have fallen, or after harvesting the fruit. Just a little hint there. Again, if you think, oh, there's so much information, just go to the Herb Federation, that website I gave them in the last session, www.herbs.org.nz.
Mm.
Okay, and there's all, it'll be all there. Interestingly, one of the things, apart from the obvious vitamin C, there's some A in there, B's, E and K. Potassium, it's supposed to be quite high in potassium apple.
Like the bananas?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, neither. And it also contains pectin as well. That's why they use, certainly back in the old days, they would use, when making jams, apple in there too, because it was the pectin in it that helped bind.
So this...
is it the sugar or something that firm
gel everything together?
Mm. Yeah. There's some therapeutic uses that you might want to know about. And they are anti-inflammatory, astringent, anti-diarrheal. Okay, anti-diarrhea.
Okay.
Did not know that about them. So you know the old English proverb, an apple a day keeps the doctor away?
Yes.
Well, recent science is proving it to be quite correct. The pectin in apples has been found to bind excess cholesterol and bile salts, thereby reducing blood cholesterol and reducing the risk of, I'm not going to say that word, arteriosclerosis. That sounds like something to do with heart vessels.
Yep. Heart disease.
And gallstones, two very common health problems as you head towards the other end of your life. Therefore, you can see why traditionally the old wives stewed apples with roast pork, a rich and not so easy to digest food, is such a common
combination
because
I love stewed apples.
Yeah, so they go well together and they make it easier for you to digest the meat, and pork's quite fatty as well.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Mm. Medicinal uses. I think this is where, unripe or green apples have a long history as treatment for diarrhea. I would have thought they would have caused diarrhea. Eating like a sour apple.
Anyway. The cooked apples or the mushy apples or the fresh apples?
And ripe apples for constipation. Raw or ripe apples have a cleansing effect on the body.
Maybe it's the fibre in them that help.
So are useful for such conditions. They're also useful for indigestion, arthritis, gout, gastric ulceration, and urinary system infections. So that was interesting. I didn't know that they could help with all that. But I think you'd have to do a bit of research. It says raw or ripe apples. But if you want treatment for diarrhea, go unripe.
Oh, okay. Is it the tartness
generally,
of it?
Touch wood, it's not something I've had. Okay, I'm going to get it now. But it's not something I've had for a while. I just think when I'm not well, would I want to eat a sour apple? Maybe. I quite like yogurt when I'm not feeling well. You know, something that's kind of acidy and
I don't
simple.
Know. There hasn't been much occasions where I've had diarrhea and then
to
reach for a treatment. But I suppose keep that in mind if there's an apple nearby.
Well, I tell you what, stewed apple is a traditional food for invalids and well suited to nourish sick babies and children as well. Mm. I remember it's been around a while, the old apple.
I love the stewed apple. It's good with porridge and
yeah.
I love apple crumble, so.
And good with the yogurt I was just talking about too, but a stewed apple there. If you've got a sore tummy and yes. Yeah,
it
is quite nourishing, actually, now that I think about it. You can't really, it's one of those ones you're like, yeah, I could actually do that. When you know you're not feeling great and very hungry.
Treat food as your medicine.
Yeah. Okay. Apple tea is a refreshingly healing drink for colic and other digestive problems or for colds. Prepare this by using fresh raw apples with the skin on, finely chopped, and pour boiling water over to infuse.
Okay, like apple juice, but apple tea.
I guess it's just the old way to make.
And then you get...
Doesn't say anything about adding sugar. I love, like, really sweet apple juice. So.
Cider.
That's an interesting one. You know how we often have... There was this huge craze where everyone was drinking lemon in their drinks, which is... that's fine. I mean, I like a few drops of lemon, but I've never thought of doing... You know, making an apple-based
hot drink. Well, a lot of fruit juices in the supermarkets are based on apple juice as a basis.
Yeah.
You know, you think you're buying an orange juice, but half of it or most of it is actually apple juice.
Yeah.
And they've just added a bit of orange flavour. So maybe it's because all those apples that we grow in New Zealand need to be used somehow.
And also, but just be aware that... especially ripe apples. If you've got diabetes, a lot of sugar.
Very sugary.
So just be aware of that. Green apples, or I'm talking about unripe when I say green, are not recommended to be eaten unless you have diarrhea.
Oh.
So.
It's quite a bit on diarrhea there.
I know, it seems to be the theme. Right, culinary uses. Lots of culinary uses. You can eat it straight. Is a refreshing and nourishing snack, dried, cooked, baked, included in cakes, desserts, preserves. It can be pretty much used for any sort of cooking, really.
Mm.
I talked about the pectin and how they use it in jams that require a setting agent. And I've also, hot apple juice. So they said instead of mulled wine, try heating apple juice with the same spices.
Ooh,
sounds more like apple cider then.
What exactly are the spices? Are they like...
But it's non-alcoholic. Well,
cinnamon and...
Yeah.
I don't know what else you would spice it up with.
I haven't made mulled wine before, so it shouldn't be hard. Lamb's wool is a drink of sweet spiced ale or cider and roasted apples. Traditional drink from the Middle Ages. Consumed on festive occasions, still drunken today. So that sounds a bit like that mulled,
It reminds me of this English tradition where they would call it a waysail, and they'd dance around the apple trees to, I don't know, enhance the fertility of the apples.
Oh, really?
Like,
there's a whole bunch of information here on history and mystery of the apple. I just didn't want to get into that, but
it's the tradition.
Oh, apples have been a part of many, many traditions from All Hallows Eve, which is coming up, Halloween.
Oh, yes.
St. Lama's Day. I wonder if that's like Lama. Lamas. St. Lamas Day. It's not the animal. Something else. St. Catherine's Day. St. Valentine's Day. All of these sort of old traditions have all somehow got... The apple has somewhere been a part of those celebrations. So apple wood was used for making magic wands and used in traditional rituals. Apparently unicorns love resting under apple trees.
Really?
Oh. Mm. The flower essence of the apple blossom, I should have mentioned this when I was talking about the blossoms before, is used to detox the mind of negative thoughts and thereby to help the body and mind restore itself to well-being.
Hmm.
You know what? I love the smell of any sort of blossom, to be honest. And if I've ever, I remember when I lived in Henderson Valley and there was an orchard that I used to roam in. It was on the edge of the bush.
Mm-hmm.
And I would illegally sort of just take lots of blossoms home with me.
Yes.
Oh, I don't, it was an abandoned orchard. They didn't seem to ever be working it.
Okay.
So, yeah, I kind of forgave myself for that. But, yeah, and you know what? Trees like to be pruned. So, yeah, it was a win-win. But, and it just being in the... And amongst all the rows and rows of blossoms.
Yeah.
It's so amazing. It was such a peaceful. I used to go there quite a bit. And I had a baby at that time. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice. I put him on my back and just walked down to this orchard. And it was just, there was a real peace about the place. And then you'd bring the blossoms home and put them on the kitchen table.
Gorgeous.
And I mean, I didn't make any flower essence out of them. I haven't actually seen that. Maybe there's an essential oil. I love essential oils. I must look for that one.
Apple blossom.
Flower essence of... Maybe there's, you know, the ones where they put in alcohol, like a tincture.
Okay. It's not a strong scent, is it? It's just
But it's just... I can see why they said it's used to detox the mind of negative thoughts. I mean, it did that.
Apple blossoms are white, aren't they? They're not... Like pink, like the
They were white. Yeah, the ones that and this. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're most of them are white. Maybe with a little tinge of pink.
Yeah,
sort of. Yeah, but
they don't last very long.
No. So that's why there was regular trips.
Thanks for that, Karen.
Yeah. So there you go. Wonderful. I'm glad to have been able to share that, but sooner than anticipated. Yeah. But yeah,
the apple as a
the
herb.
Humble apple.
Yeah.
And so I believe you are going to continue on with, because as usual, we ran out of time. So we got as far as clubs, community gardens, federations.
Yep.
So you are going to talk about garden rambles that take place. Is that right?
Yep. But carrying on from the clubs, the community gardens and those things, I wanted to add if you... feeling a bit isolated and want to join a garden community. Here are some other garden societies you could consider putting yourself up for or joining or helping out. Garden to table in schools.
Yes.
So a lot of schools have this scheme, and we have invited Catherine Bell from Garden to Table to speak with us about that. So in primary schools... A lot of schools have signed up for this, and volunteers come in and look after the school garden and help teach the children how to grow things, and they would use the produce from the plants too.
I always, like, working in a school myself, I always get a little bit like, you know how schools are a little bit wary of strangers, sorry to be a thorn in your side, coming onto the... property just because everyone's a molesterer and murderer. Yeah,
I'm just saying.
But I mean, yeah, if maybe
you're the parent,
you can only ask. I'm sure that, you know, if you've got a clean police record or whatever, who knows, schools are funny places like that. But especially if you've got a child at the school, they'll be like, oh, hi to my, come in, you know, you can come in any time.
I'm just saying, if you, your children go to school.
It's hard for a school to do it on its own. Very hard to manage a big program like that. They need people to sort of keep things going. Yeah. That's why a lot of these gardening and schools programs sort of start off with a hiss and a roar, and then, like any garden, you know, it does, and you've got to keep it going, you know, and gardens need to be tended to regularly. So put your hand up for it if you do know a school that's doing it.
Yeah.
And even if you're not got a kid, you can only ask and say, look, I think it's a great idea, I want to support it, can I? You know, and maybe if you set a time with them and say, look, every Wednesday and Friday I'll come in at 10:30 and whatever.
Yeah.
Give them a water.
I'd say if, your children or your grandchildren do go to school and they're in primary school.
Yeah, definitely. Get down there, eh?
Have a think about helping out there and joining that little community. Another is, that I forgot to mention, was Rongoa. That is a huge movement today. The Māori medicine, Māori herbal medicine. And there's all sorts of groups joining together to learn.
Oh, that's so great to hear. They're keeping the traditional, you know, healing, plant healing.
Yeah. You can do courses, and there's workshops being run.
It's really cool because you've got to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You've got to, and that's one of the visions with the Herb Federation that I talked about last week. It's about education and, you know, proper identification and safe use, because you don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah. So when I was in it, we went around the gardens and other forest places identifying the native plants, and then we would get to maybe make some rongoa with them, like doing the tinctures and the boil-ups and, you know. So you get to, it's hands-on practical.
That's awesome.
So, and it becomes a bit of a community learning together. So
I forgot to mention last week, for some reason I didn't put it in my notes, but there's an online course you can do through the Herb Federation. It's like a certificate of herb use or something like that, and it's a 12-week module. I was a part of this society, and I didn't even know they offered this. But, perusing through their website, that's cool.
Sounds wonderful.
And they go through all the ins and outs of, correctly using and identifying and,
I'm not sure if they still do it, but the Open Polytech used to have run free horticultural courses. If you're really quite serious about going into horticulture, not so much gardening, but really serious about growing, you could go on, join up, sort of done by correspondence or through, sometimes, well, when I did it, it was through the Rānui Community Garden team, and we went and met there and did, you know, learned all about how to grow and propagate.
I really like the sounds of the rongoa, and the fact that, I mean, online learning's useful and good and all, but
it needs to be hands-on.
You know what I'm saying.
And if you've got money to spare, there's also like permaculture workshops and courses. So
I'd love to do that one day.
You could do that in a 2-week block, or you could do it over a whole year every weekend and learn. You learn so much from that. I learned so much.
Yeah, I think with permaculture, a really good thing to do is go visit a permaculture farm.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
It could be
a contradiction.
That's permaculture site or permaculture garden.
Right. And get involved
What they did was a permablitz, what they call the permablitz. Well, if you were cynical, it was just a way of getting everyone working on the together.
What's our German friend that came in? You're good with names. She came in and spoke to us. She does that. She gets, she's one of the volunteers at the Point Chev garden there. And she came in and talked about what goes on there mostly. But she runs, she's got her own little permaculture yard.
Yes.
And she gets people to come in and volunteer and help her do all the laborious stuff, but then teaches them at the same time and feeds them and gives them accommodation.
It's part of woofing. So.
Oh, she was a part of,
So, those who don't know, woofing means willing workers on organic farms. So you go and stay at an organic farm, they'd host you, and you'd maybe spend 4 hours a day working and following them around and doing whatever needs to be done, and you get free board and food.
Yeah, you did that for a little while, eh?
Yeah, it was fun. It was just getting to see part of the countryside where, you know.
Did you find it, like, really useful, like, learning experience?
Yeah. Just, you know, every day you go out and do a little whatever needs to be done. And, yeah, get to
It'd
know
It'd be good
the family.
To, like, maybe do that, like, what every season do... Try and experience what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, are you allowed to go back to the same place?
Yes.
Like, could you say, oh, like, I want to do summer this year. Spring next year.
I went back to one place twice because I really liked, they had a avocado orchard, so I quite enjoyed that one.
Yeah. Well, those, they get quite big, eh?
Yeah.
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 Quite big trees. They're very difficult to... Like, are they fast growing? They're quite a large,
yeah, they
bulky,
can get really high.
And not easy. You can't just prune with it.
Yeah,
I've got a friend, his neighbour, he's always up his avocado tree and the neighbour's always shouting him to get out.
And when they... when they
but
do,
he's a good climber, though, you know.
When they do produce, you're going to be picking for a while.
Yeah, that's what he said. He goes, there's way too... They're all just dropping off. Oh.
You need to get them done, otherwise they'll rot on the ground.
I'm like, but you're trespassing. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
That's another story. But, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so those. Otherwise, get out and about visiting with all the garden festivals going on at the moment. I'm sure there's one near you that you can hop along, go on a bus tour or go and visit.
Yep, absolutely. There's lots going on. A lot of people, you know, their jobs are involved, you know, growing and harvesting. You've got lots of people growing lavender.
They're happy to open their garden to visitors to share and get people interested.
They sometimes have shops and things like that. So, yeah, definitely there's lots out there.
All right, gardeners. Hope that's been inspirational for you. I'm going to check on my apple tree now.
Me too, actually, now that I've done that research in the weekends upon us. So, yeah, I will definitely be... Yeah, looking at it. And start thinking about it for next year if you're keen, okay, guys?
Yeah.
Start, have it in the back of your mind. Awesome.
All right. Happy gardening, everyone.
See you later. Ka kite anō.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.